What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Driving the Left Field podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at LMWNerds. I'm here with my co-host Ryan and James. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanGarcesM and James on Twitter at JamesValentinez. Today's podcast is going to be different from the last couple ones we've done. We're going to take a break from the position list here for today's podcast, and we'll answer a few of your questions that you submitted through Twitter or Instagram, either Instagram on my story at LMWNerds or on Twitter under my tweet, also at LMWNerds, and under the Deep Drive Pod Twitter. If you're not following that already, go follow at Deep Drive Pod on Twitter if you want to participate in future podcasts like this. We got seven questions here. I'm going to go through them. I'll give my answer. I'll turn to Ryan and then James. And hopefully we can kind of come to maybe consensus if you know, we agree. If not, then we'll come to, we'll give our reasoning as to why. All right, let's get started here with question number one, which is, who has the best bullpen in Major League Baseball? And my answer is the Tampa Bay Rays. I think the Rays just have the best arms. Like there are teams out there that are good, but I think the Rays have the highest ceiling arms. You know, Garrett Clevenger is a very high ceiling arm. Pete Fairbanks, to me, is a top five reliever. Jason Adam last year, I think he's going to regress a little bit, but he's still a really good player. They just have so many guys out there. And the way they shuffle their guys in, Taj Bradley will likely see out of the bullpen at some point this year. The way they shuffle their guys in and out is frankly unmatched in terms of bullpen management. And you can say what you want about them taking out starters too early, but ultimately the Rays bullpen is fantastic. They have a bunch of really good arms out there. They just care about stuff, and really with relievers, that's what matters. So, Ryan, who do you think is the best bullpen in Major League Baseball right now?
So, you know, I was going to think about going with the Rays. I think that's kind of like a safe pick every year. But I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Dodgers here. One thing the Dodgers do really well is they suppress BABIP, and it's at a rate better than anyone else in baseball. It's not really close either. You look at the names currently on the depth chart, and I know that it goes beyond just who's on the depth chart, but, you know, they're bottom of the barrel relievers currently healthy right now. Phil Bickford, you know, Shelby Miller is not a guy with a track record, but we know based off of kind of the small sample we saw with him, I think it was at San Francisco, his stuff is still pretty good, right? And out the bullpen, I think it'll play pretty well. He has the fastball, cutter, slider. You know, you have that cutter to kind of be that horizontal break bridge pitch. It kind of hovers towards the zero line for a slider that sweeps a lot. You've got guys like Yensy Almonte, you know, Gratterall. I'm not going to even try to pronounce the first name. We know I'm bad at that. Vesia, Phillips, Hudson. You know, they're going to have Trinan come back at some point during the season, hopefully. They just have plenty of guys with high octane stuff. And I think that that bullpen is going to perform the best this year. But Rays wouldn't be too far behind.
And James?
I'm going to go with Cleveland because I think – what'd you say?
Good pick, I said.
Yeah, I think when you look at down their bullpen, like they definitely have like a pretty top-heavy bullpen compared to the two that you just listed, but the top is amazing with Class A and Stefan and Eli Morgan and Sam Hench is like – and then obviously they also have James Karinchak who –
oh, it's Stefan, yeah, Karinchak.
Karinchak is – I mean, questionable. Like he, I think he had, didn't he have a couple of good months last year after being really bad in 2021.
But yeah, because he's got the sicky stuff back clearly.
Well, so, I mean, I don't care how he's doing it. I just care that he's doing.
Why he's good, and he's gonna probably keep it. So there's no reason he's gonna be worse.
Right, and then De Los Santos, Sandlin, like they have some depth there too. I think this is the deep. I think not the deepest, but definitely the strongest up top. And Class A is obviously a world class reliever, probably top two or three in the league.
I would agree with you. All right. So we got Rays, Dodgers, and Guardians. I would say that's pretty much the top three. Like, even if, like, really, I would say there's really nobody else that could put in that top three as well. The Yankees are good, but they're probably
Astros?
In that
second tier.
Astros also on that second tier. I don't really like Rafael Montero that much, so that's why I'm a little low on them. But I would say they're in that second tier with the Yankees. All right, question number two is, who is the Yankees opening shortstop going to be, opening day shortstop going to be? And this is something I can kind of answer off the bat for me personally. You know, what I've been hearing is that it's almost certainly going to be Oswald Peraza. You know, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, barring injury, is, you know, probably not going to be on the roster. And Anthony Volpe will likely get some more time in AAA, which makes sense. But everything that I've heard, everybody I've talked to around the league that I know that would, you know, have this kind of knowledge has said it's likely going to be Peraza. But Volpe will get a shot. As of right now, Peraza is the heavy favorite. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, so I 100% agree. I think it's going to be Peraza. But I will say that, you know, if you see a guy, if you see Volpe, you know, playing well in spring training and he starts playing more with the starters, you know, then we might be having a little bit of a discussion here. But the third person in this debate is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And quite frankly, I think he has a 0% shot to win it again, barring injury. If Peraza goes down with injury, I think those odds go up, obviously. But, you know, as long as everyone stays healthy, there's really no reason for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa to be in the discussion. He doesn't have the floor of Peraza. He doesn't have the ceiling of Volpe. And then when we're discussing Volpe, I would like to give him some time in AAA before I get him at the major league level. But I don't think it's going to take too long for him to force his way on the major league roster.
I would look at the Los Angeles Angels as a trade partner potentially for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa post the season or preseason beginning. Just food for thought. Just look out for that. James, what do you think?
I mean, obviously I wouldn't know nearly as much as you guys, given that I'm not a Yankees fan. Personally, I think it should be Peraza. I don't think there should be a question unless you're ready to put Volpe up there, but I don't know if he's ready. It doesn't, like, I mean, obviously we have no idea, right? And then Kiner-Falefa should not start. He shouldn't even play. He's not a major league baseball player. Like, he's just not. Maybe like a platoon bench guy. I don't know what his role there is. He's got an okay glove, I guess, but not really much, you know, with the bat or anything. I think it's got to be Peraza. It's a pretty weak shortstop group to start the year. Obviously, Volpe coming up will make a difference there. But then again, we ranked him at second base, so I'm assuming you guys will think he's going to play second base.
That's what I think, personally.
But then where is Gleyber Torres going to play? So.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot.
I mean, like, the by the end of the year, I assume that there'll be all three, LeMahieu, Volpe, and Torres, in some capacity, will be there infield, right? With Rizzo at first base. And so I think like, just expect that. I don't know who exactly is going to start on opening day, but I'd expect Peraza to get most of the starts to start the year.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think, you know, little competition can't hurt. And what's kind of been publicized to be, but again, my understanding is it's almost certainly going to be Peraza, regardless of what happens in spring training. But nothing is certain just yet. And IKF, you know, he can provide some value, you know, off the bench. A lot of teams, you know, their internal metrics from who I've talked to in certain organizations really like his glove a lot. Like, they believe he's one of the better defensive players in the game. I personally don't see it. The public metrics don't see it, but obviously teams have their own, you know, ways of evaluating defense, which is very understandable. All right, let's move on to question number three here. What changes do you think will be affected by or most by the rule changes coming in 2023? So those rule changes.
I typed this in wrong. It's supposed to say what players do you think will be most affected by the rule changes in 2023?
I thought you were saying different concepts.
No. What players? Sorry, right, that's my fault.
What players will be affected the most? I don't really know. I mean, I think. You know, I haven't had time to think about this fully, but I'll say the general player archetype. Guys who steal bases or are fast will likely steal bases or bigger. I think Starlin Marte, maybe. A guy like Anthony Volpe we're talking about just now, he's very fast, guy will steal bases for you. And then guys that have a hard time, you know, getting back on the mound because, you know, 15 seconds with nobody on, 20 seconds with runners on. So pitch com will definitely be critical for most players who use it. As for the shift, I mean, I honestly think the shift is very overhyped. Like, you can still have guys right up the middle. You just can't have, like, it'll definitely make changes for sure. Like, the first guy that comes to mind is Joey Gallo. Like, Joey Gallo absolutely fucked by the shift. Again, so many dead pull hitters at this point where it's really too many to count. Corey Seager is a guy for sure as well. But I think the shift is going to still happen. Like, their teams will shift. You will still see teams put players not where the traditional spot is. Like, you'll still see second baseman up the middle. You'll still see first baseman off the line, you know, like, you know, considering, or shortstop rather. It depends on obviously who's hitting, but because the rule is you only need two infielders on each side of the bag to start, you know, the at bat, so you can still move guys over. I think it's a little overhyped, but we'll still see some changes, I would say. You know, of course, you as a guy, Joey Gallo, like I said. And Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, so for the offensive side of the ball, Corey Seager, right? Corey Seager kind of stands out. He's the guy who I think gets the biggest change. You know, you look at ground ball pitches as a whole, and you're kind of a little bit, you know, not too worried, but kind of like, you know, a couple of them are going to sneak through. That's whatever. I think, as you mentioned, you know, the BABIP overall as a league is not going to go up dramatically. As for the bigger bases, there are guys who are those kind of like borderline good enough to steal bases, but you don't want them running like crazy. You know, I look at guys like Harrison Bader, Jose Altuve, guys who just, you know, they increased their stolen base totals last year. You know, they didn't necessarily run crazy, but they had pretty good stolen base rates. Next year, they can kind of run wild, right? I'm kind of excited to see what John Birdie can do with bigger bases. He led the league in stolen base last year in 102 games, excuse me. You know, there are a lot of guys. I think a lot of guys who, like, you wouldn't think, okay, they're fast, but we don't want them stealing a base. Maybe those guys perform a little bit better in BSR and stolen base metrics. And then for the pitch clock, Kenley Jansen's kind of the one guy I'm, like, super concerned about out of, like, all the relievers I think are good. You know, Devin Williams and Gallegos definitely are up there as well in terms of pitch clock. But I think the difference is those are younger arms, and I don't necessarily think that, you know, Kenley Jansen had a rough second half in the first place, so I'm already a little bit down on him. Projections don't like him that much. Stuff Plus likes him, but his command is not as good. So, you know, there are some concerns that going into next year can kind of be the beginning of the end for him. But, you know, having a pitch clock and having to, you know, speed things up a little bit could hurt velocity, which hurts your stuff. I'm a little bit concerned about Jansen next year. Big, you know, the ballpark situation's worse than Atlanta. It's a lot of things going into one, and the pitch clock doesn't really help here.
And James.
Yeah, I mean, players-wise, I think it's just, like Jack said, it's the guys who steal a ton of bases, or for the relievers, I really don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, the pitch clock. I think it's something that they'll just kind of get used to pretty quickly. I don't know how, like, it would affect their actual pitching to have to get on the mound, like, that much quicker. I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. For teams, stolen bases, I think stolen bases are going to be the big difference. I don't think the shift is going to be that big, although having not being able to put that guy, you know, against the lefty pull hitter in the middle, you know, like roaming between second base and right field, is tough, right? For the defense, but I don't think it's gonna make that much of a difference. I think the stolen bases will be a bigger difference. You look at like teams like the Orioles or the Rangers that steal a lot of bases with guys like I don't know, Simeon and Garcia steal a ton for the Rangers, and then for Baltimore, I think Mateo and Mullins might have been the top two guys in the entire league. So if you look at like those type of teams, they'll definitely benefit. Teams like the Marlins, just teams that run a lot and players that run a lot. I think that's going to be the biggest difference we see next year.
All right. Question number four. We got, what team do you expect to regress the most from 2022 to 2023? This one's easy for me. And it's not even that this is like a bad team by any means, but the Los Angeles Dodgers won 110 games last year. And they're probably not the favorite to win their division as of right now. I understand this is a salary reset year, and we'll get into that with the last question, and I'll elaborate more on that. But, yeah, I think the Dodgers will be a good team, probably 90, 92 wins, but that's still an 18 to 20 win decrease-ish or so. I mean, maybe I'm being a little aggressive on them. They still have a great team, but they did lose, you know, Trey Turner, probably their best offensive player. You know, not real Mookie Betts. They're pretty close. Some of their pitchers, you know, they did lose Tyler Anderson. You know, whether you think he's going to have that repeat that same success he did last year or not, he was still quite good last year. You're not going to really replace that. But they have so many good prospects. You know, this could bite me in the ass again because they just have so many good prospects and their player development is just so good. You know, it's really hard to tell. Ryan, what team do you think will regress the most going into 2023?
Yeah, so I think the Dodgers are a good pick just because they won so many games last year. Yeah. Even if they were like the best projected team in baseball, they'd be projected to lose like 12 or 13 extra games just like that. But the team, I think, not just looking at raw win totals, but just kind of taking a step back, the Baltimore Orioles, they were an above 500 team last year, finished in fourth, were, you know, I think three games back in the AL wild card. They're not going to get close to that. I think Boston's better than them. I think I look at, you know, two AL Central teams, maybe three, if you think, the White Sox, I think, might just be the better team at this point, just more talent on the roster. Worst run, definitely a worst run team, but the talent on the roster definitely favors Chicago, at least a little slightly. I think I like the Angels more. I like the Seattle more. I like the Astros more. The way I look at it is I don't think the Orioles are going to be that seventh AL team kind of on the outside looking at the postseason, just barely missing it. I think they're going to comfortably miss the playoffs. I think they're going to be selected to deadline again. I just don't think this team's very good.
And James?
I think if we're looking at raw win total, I disagree with the Dodgers. I don't think that they're going to take that big of a step back. I'd be shocked if they don't win 100 games again. They're still loaded. Like even losing Turner and not making too many additions, I still think they're one of the best teams in the league. Even if the Padres are better than them, there's a good chance they both win 100 games. I think that the biggest decline in just pure wins might be the Boston Red Sox because they won 78 last year, and they're going to be really, really bad this year. They have no pitching. They lost their They lost their second best hitter. They lost their second best pitcher. They added Yoshida, which is like a nice addition, but we have no idea what he's going to look like translating into MLB, right, from Japan. So I think the Red Sox are a candidate to have the biggest fall off next season, but at the same time, like, they already weren't that good. So I don't know if that's, you know, if that really counts.
Got it. No, all those are valid. I like the Orioles pick a lot as well. I could understand the Red Sox. So number five here, what is your favorite all-time lineup? Now, in terms of ones that I've personally watched, because I am still on the younger side in terms of baseball fans, probably the 2019 Yankees, because I'm pretty impartial to them. The best one I've watched, probably the 2017 Astros, maybe 2019 Astros. Favorite all-time lineup to look back in terms of history, the Murderers Row Yankees, obviously, and I'm a Yankees fan, so, you know, that's kind of my personal bias as a favorite. So I think it's an interesting question. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, so, you know, best, I think, you know, just for my lifetime, it's got to be one of those two Astro teams, as you mentioned, the 17 or 19 Astros. As for the most, like, the one you kind of, like, I would say is, like, the best and is the best of my favorites. 09 Yankees is kind of like a cop-out because I was the last Yankee team to win a World Series, and they were fucking loaded top to bottom. But if I had to pick a non-Yankees team favorite lineup, I think I have to go with the way that the Minnesota Twins offense was in 2019 was just, they set the record for home runs. It was just a fun offense. Like, they just hit tanks, right? And I got to respect that. You know, like, home runs are fun to watch. You know, everyone can have their own opinion on home runs and whether they're, you know, that much fun to watch or not. But that team was just, I mean, they just hit home runs left and right. It's kind of a shame that they didn't have any of the pitching required to go out and win in a postseason series. But I think that lineup, out of all non-Yankee lineups, was the most fun for me to watch.
I like that pick. James?
Well, I mean, for me, like, as a Cubs fan, it's got to be the 2016 Cubs. But like you guys said, if we're going to go away from that, right? As far as I've seen, I think it's got to be the 17 or 19, probably 19 Astros. I think they were better, even though they didn't win. Those teams were so fun to watch with, like, Correa, Altuve, Springer, Alvarez, Tucker. That team had all of them, right? What'd you say?
Not as fun for me. Yeah, like, still as a baseball fan, can appreciate it for sure.
And then I think actually this year that's going to change. I think for sure it's got to be this year's Padres are going to be so much fun with those four guys in the middle of the order, Tatis, Machado, Soto, and Bogarts. I just don't think we've ever seen a team that star-studded, at least top-heavy, in the last, you know, 15, 20 years.
Can I change my answer to that then? Because that's three Dominican, like, Hall of Famers talent, like, right there. Like, I got to go with that. I was going to mention the 04 Red Sox.
Like, we haven't seen it yet, right? But I just can't imagine this team isn't fun.
I was going to say the 04 Red Sox is of Ortiz and Ramirez, but I feel like that would have been sacrilegious. So I'm just like, yeah. But all right, that's this 2023 Padres team, man. They're going to be fun.
They will. Let's move to our penultimate question here. What is the most overrated team in each league going into 2023? My personal picks, these are kind of easy for me. I'll go in the AL, the Orioles. We touched on it earlier. Ryan did, at least. They're a good team. Like, they're a fine team, but they really have no pitching. And their offense, they have Adley Rutschman. They have kind of Cedric Mullins. He's okay. Like, he's not that great. They've got a couple other solid players. Austin Hayes is fine. But, like, really, they're not that good of a team. I guess Gunnar Henderson as well. I'm a big Gunnar guy, as you guys know in my rankings. But ultimately, they don't really have much talent on that roster. So I'll go with them because fans really hyping them up. I understand, like, why they're hyping them up, but I think they're a couple years away. They still got a lot of good prospects coming up. Mayo, Kowser, Kerstad, amongst pitching, Gray Rod. Like, they have so many guys. So they'll be fine in a couple years, but for now, they didn't really do anything this offseason. And in the NL this offseason for me, I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Phillies. They made the World Series last year, but, like, they barely made it into the playoffs to begin with, and then they kind of went on a run. The postseason is such a crapshoot. They were probably the worst, if not the second worst team in the playoffs to begin with, and they made it because they went on a run, which is great. That's what the playoffs are about. That's why it's fun. That's why they play the games. But, you know, they added Trey Turner, who's a fantastic player. They added Greg Soto. They added Craig Kimbrel. But, like, I don't see this team winning more than 90 games at most, and I don't really think they're a top-five team. I think we see too many people putting them in that upper echelon of team, and I'm not a fan of that personally. They're going to be fine. They'll be a good team. I think they'll probably sneak into the playoffs, but they won't be as good as they were last year. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, so for the AL, I was going to say the Orioles, but I figured, you know what, let's kind of go with a little bit of a hotter take here. And also, we talked about the Orioles enough, so I figured let's move away from that. I kind of feel bad at this point. Overrated doesn't mean bad. I want to clarify that before I say this.
Absolutely.
I think the Seattle Mariners, I think, are my pick here if I can't pick Baltimore. And my reason's quite simple. The Seattle Mariners, I don't think, are in the same tier as the Yankees or the Astros. I don't. I don't think that they are. Like, I don't look at them and say they're going to sneak up on the Astros this year. I think the Astros
beat. Yeah, but does anyone think that?
I think there are enough people who think the Mariners can win the World Series this year. And on top of that, I don't think
they're better. I don't think that makes them on the same tier.
You're right. I should have worded that differently. I think they can win the World Series. I think they're going to make the playoffs, obviously. Like, that's not something I'm debating here. But do I think that they're better than the Blue Jays? No. Do I think they're better than the Rays? No.
Yes.
Do I think that they're better than Cleveland? Yes, but that's only because it's Cleveland. Like, I don't really like AL Central teams that much in terms of team ranking. Looking even at the NL, do I think they're better than the Braves or Mets? No. Do I think they're better than the Cardinals? Maybe. Kind of. It's kind of up in the air. Do I think they're better than any two top NL West teams? No. So when we're talking about that, they're kind of like a borderline top 10 team. Right. And when I'm talking, do we think that the Mariners did enough this offseason to get significantly better than what they were last year? Not really. Even if you look at the rotation, I like George Kirby a ton, but they have two guys in there as their three and their four who posted either a league average ERA when we adjust for their park, or were worse than league average. We're talking about Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray last year had a 100 ERA minus, not worse than league average. And Gilbert's kind of good. Like, Gilbert's good, but he's not great. I don't know how good he is. His ERA wasn't bad last year or anything like that, but the run prevention doesn't seem sustainable. He's a big fly ball guy. He gives up a lot of line drives. He doesn't give a bunch of ground balls. It's a weird mix. He doesn't get a lot of strikeouts. I just don't view this team as in that elite tier. I don't view them in that first tier, and I think they're in the back end of that second tier. I don't think they're like, I think, again, we're ranking AL teams. I'm taking about three or four, definitely three AL teams ahead of them. Blue Jays maybe, but I'm pretty confident in the Blue Jays over them. So that's for the Mariners. And then the National League, Phillies, for all the reasons Jack said.
And James.
Okay, so I'm actually going to start with the National League here because I strongly disagree with this Phillies take from both of you. I think you take this team last year, they already made the World Series, right? They did not do that well in the regular season. Bryce Harper played half the year. So that's definitely a factor there, right?
Bryce Harper's not playing again. He's going to come back in like August or whatever.
Is he really out for that? He's going to DH, I thought. I thought it wasn't.
No, no, not. He's out until at least after the All-Star break.
At least after the All-Star break when he's going to DH.
So maybe I'm a little off there. But if you look at the rest of this Phillies lineup, they're still from top to bottom, like one of the best lineups in the league with Turner and you know, Hoskins and Realmuto and Bohm. Like, they can all hit. Their defense is going to be bad. A problem.
98 WRC plus, and he's 26. Like, it's not like next year's. It's like he's like 22. Like, yeah, Stott,
Stott can hit.
Can he?
Not very good either.
Castellanos can hit.
I said, yeah. Pretty bad last year. He'll be good. I think he'll be better this year, but like, he was.
Castellanos, you can sell me on.
I think Castellanos is a guy that you kind of have to expect more out of than last year, because last year was kind of like a worst case scenario for him. Obviously, adding Turner's huge. Schwarber can still hit. That's a huge.
Love Schwarber.
I missed him on the first, you know, go around there. And then obviously they're pitching. They've got Wheeler and Nola, who might be two of the best two top 10 pitchers in the league. And then, you know, they lack a little bit of depth, but I think that doesn't really matter.